ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणं विना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्तदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरागणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः We'll chant the first verse. उत्तरेदात्मनात्मानम् नात्मानमवसादये आत्मैव ह्यात्मनो बन्धुः आत्मैव रिपुरात्मनः द फर्स्ट् वर्स् इस् अबौट् हौ टु अप्लिफ्ट् अवर् मैण्ड् वित् द हेल्प् आफ् दि बुद्धि आत्मानम् आत्मना उद्धरेत् मनः बुद्ध्या उद्धरेत् द मैण्ड् विच् इस् सब्जेक्ट् टु आल् नेगेटिव् थिङ्किङ्ग् पास्ट् रिग्रेट्स् एण्ड् आल् वेरियस् हेबिचुवल् वे आफ् थाट् प्रोसेसिङ्ग् मस्ट् बि ओवर्कम् बै the help of intellect or buddhi, which is a seat of knowledge, wisdom, and the ability to make decisions. Many of us think that children who are, say, teenagers, they are indecisive most of the time. What do you want? Are you hungry? Sort of. So this is indecisiveness. That's natural. But if you are 55 and you are still like that, there is a problem. So buddhi is nischayatmika. The nature of buddhi is decisiveness, determination, firmness, steadfastness. That if it is not there, obviously mind will take over. And when the mind is taken over, mind takes over our personality, that is when we become so confused. Because nature of the mind is doubt, oscillation, uncertainty, chanchalam. So with that help of the intellect, make your mind not to get into that moods of despair, disappointments, regrets. That's a statement number one. Statement number two is if you don't do it, the mind will pull you down. So therefore he says, na atmanam avasadayet. Avasadayet means sad. In Sanskrit, sad means to sit down. Sad. It's very close to English. Sad, sit. That's why the sanna means sat. It's very well sat. So asanam is the way, place where you sit. Or posture. It's a yoga. In the yoga market, they say yoga asana. A position. So mind when it is pulling you down, it is called avasadana. The word ava is used as a prefix only to bring it down. Rohanam, avarohanam. Avarohanam is come down. Anyway, it's not going to Sanskrit now. So, na atmanam avasadet. Do not bring down your mind. Don't lower yourself. Don't disrespect yourself. Don't lose confidence. Don't look down upon yourself. And don't take others' opinion and look at yourself as useless. Many times that happens. You know, the whole world says I'm useless, therefore I'm useless. Prove it otherwise. So the failure is mainly starting from one's own inability to look at what is good in oneself. So na atmanam avasadayet. That is the second. Third one is your own mind is your friend. When does it become a friend? When it helps you to overcome your imperfections, impurities. And such a mind which helps you to overcome your own inhibitions and conditioning is closer to the self. Paramatma, the self, is always there, blissful one. We stay away from it. Mind is taking us away from it. And when we are staying away from ourselves, we are miserable. That's why when we come home, it says, home sweet home. Why? Because you are away for a long time and you come back and relax. Right? So, our own self is the abode of all bliss and joy. When we are made to move away from it, because the mind takes us away to all the habitual thinking, etc., so, such a mind is an enemy. And a mind that brings you back to yourself is a friend. Closer to yourself, you are a friend. Away from yourself is an enemy. So, when the mind is not properly tamed and trained, that a mind is an enemy. Atma eva atmanaha ripuhu. Atma eva atmanaha banduhu. So your own mind is your friend only when that mind is ready to let go of its usual tendencies and behavior and come closer towards the self with the help of the buddhi. And when the same mind, when it is not trained and tamed properly, when it is not obeying itself to the knowledge and wisdom of the buddhi, it stays away from it. And therefore, it becomes your enemy. So, Atmaiva Hyatmano Banduhu Atmaiva Ripuratmana. All right. So, next verse is verse number 47 from second chapter. Karmanyevadikaraste. Mapaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbhu ma te sangostva karmani karmanyevadikaraste mapaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetubhuh ma te sangostva karmani. Adhikara means qualification. Qualification means you have the appropriate traits or qualities to engage. If you are applying for a job, they will ask you about what is your qualification, right? If you are going to become a physician assistant, and what is that you have already completed as a course software? You are not qualified for that. Because what your qualification is, and that doesn't match with what is the job that is being offered to you. So anything that you want to do in life, you must gain that proper qualification for that. Now, when we come to specifically Arjuna's case, and most of us are in the same predicament, we are all karma adhikari. Meaning, we are qualified to engage in action. Na jnana adhikari va, dhyana adhikari va, bhakti adhikari va. We are not really qualified for jnanam, for dhyan, yatha bhakti. So each one of them have got certain requirements. You cannot claim yourself as adhikari for dhyana or jnanam or bhakti. Only Bhagavan knows whether you are ready. Because manushya janma is for karma. The human birth is essentially start with readiness to work. Even all other animals cannot do. Even devadas cannot do that. Only humans can. And I always say that kar hai to karma hai. All have hands, right? Kar, it's called kar. Kar se kya karte ho? Wahi karma hai. Other living beings don't have a kar, kar, hand is not there, so they cannot handle anything. Devadas don't have a body, so there is no question of karma. So, karma adhikari, manushyaha karma adhikari, naraha karma adhikari. A human being is essentially having the qualification to act. And that is the reason why Bhagavan spends a lot of time in talking about what is the correct action you need to do. Arjun was ready to give up. Main sanyas le raha hu. Are, aapko adhikar nahi hai. न्यास करने के लिए आपको अधिकार नहीं है, ज्ञान के लिए आप अधिकारी नहीं नहीं आ रहे. तो हाउ विल यू गो फॉर ए थिंग वेर यू आर नॉट क्वालिफाइड? देयरफॉर फर्स्ट स्टेटमेंट व्हाट ही सेज, कर्मणि एव अधिकारः ते. दिस वेरी क्लियरली टू बी अंडरस्टूड. यू आर राइट टू वर्क ओनली. वी टू डिफरेंट मीनिंग्स वी विल सी, बट वन वन बाय वन. Now, kya karma karna hai? Usse humko minnat. About that, we are very confused. So, in our Shastra, it is said, when you are in the first stage of life, certain karmas are prescribed. Brahmachari avasthaya. During the time when you are a student, or not married, at that point of time, what are the things you are capable and you have a right to do. And that changes when you become a grihastha. And what a grihastha does, a non-married person or unmarried person has no right to do. This we don't follow nowadays, but anyway, that is, we have to understand that. So, jo brahmachari sthiti mein jo karma karna hai, wo, that is very specifically mentioned. And so one householder, a person who is a family person, what kind of action such a person should do is also given. Man or woman. What husband should do, what a wife should do, etc. As a parent, what you should do. Then vanaprastha ke liye kuch है और संन्यास के लिए भी है. फॉर ए रेनन्शिएट, फॉर द वन हु इज गेटिंग रेडी टू बिकम एन रेनन्शिएट, ऑल ऑफ देम आर गिवन सर्टन थिंग्स. इन ऑल दीज थिंग्स व्हाट इज कॉमन इज अधिकारित्व फॉर कर्म फॉर एक्शन. नाउ इन जनरल देयरफॉर एवरी इंडिविजुअल ह्यूमन बीइंग ड्रिवन बाय द डिजायर एंगेजेस इन एक्शन. If you don't have desire, no action. But there is no condition where we have no desire. From the time we are born till we die, we have some desire or the other. And it may not be the same. What you were desiring when you are 10 year old is not the desire that you have when you are 20 or 30 or 50 or 60. Right? So based upon the desire, so will be your action. So this way, when you have a desire to engage in action and you engage in only in that action, it is called kamya karma adhikaritva. Meaning, your actions are driven by the desire that you have. Why I'm going elaborately is many people don't understand. They merely make a translation and then go away, but you have to know the context. Now, there are three kinds of karmas that are given in our Shastra. One is called Kamya Karma. Desire prompted actions. The second one is called Nitya Naimittika Karmas or called Niyata Karma, which is called a duty. A thing you should do irrespective of desire. It is not related to desire at all. ही करना है. सो आई ऑफन आस्क दिस चिल्ड्रन, व्हाई कृष्णा आस्क्ड अर्जुन टू किल कर्णा? यू नो व्हाई? बिकॉज कृष्णा से करना है. एनीवे दो स्टूडेंट अंडरस्टैंड. सो नित्य कर्म नैमित्य कर्म इज कॉल्ड नियत कर्म और कर्तव्य. कर्तव्य मीन्स टू बी डन. Either it can be daily duties or it can be when it occasion arises. And then the third one is called Nishiddha, what you should not do. That also to be understood. Bhagavan Krishna says, Karmanyo, but the very difficult to understand the karma. Karmanokhya bi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha bi karmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. To understand karma is difficult because you should know what to do, what not to do, and what is the state of not doing anything. A karma. Now, when it comes to kamya karma, like you go to every day, you know, when you are in a professional work, then you go do your work at your workplace and etc. And that work you do because at the end of the work or end of the contract or whatever, there is a result which comes in the form of some remuneration, money you gain or the profit that you gain, etc. So that is the driving force for your action. So this is considered as most of the time it's kamya karma only. And all of us, more or less 70 to 80% of our work is kamya karma. Kamya karma means driven by desires. So when we are busy with doing only action driven by desires, there is always more and more actions coming into us. Because as I said, desire never ends. One desire is there and you fulfill that with your action. Another one comes, you do it. Another one comes, you do it. And finally you find you are already 80. Chalo. Abhi nikalna hai. Now we have to go. So the whole life is spent only in fulfilling your desire and there's nothing else you've done. Right? So what the Vedas say, apart from Kamya Karma, there is what is called Kartavya Karma. This Kartavya Karma are called Nitya Karmas. Actions that are to be done by an individual. In Bhagavan Krishna, in 18th chapter, he elaborates on this point. that he says tyajyam doshavadi tyege karma prahur manishinah yajna dana tap karma atyajyam karyam eva tat. So yajna dana and tapa, these karmas are to be done. This is for us to get ready for knowledge or even devotion. Devotion and knowledge, only small difference is there. Both of them primarily require purity of mind. Chitta Shuddhi Avashyakam in both, for devoting yourself to God or gaining knowledge. Both of them require, because both of them lead to moksha, liberation, salvation. But these two primary requirement is what? Purity of mind. And what is the purity of mind? Anxiety-free mind is called purity of mind. Amiji, every day for 6 to 8 hours, anxiety-free I am. Sleep. In sleep alone, we become anxiety-free. That is not what we are talking about, purity of mind. Mind which is pure is calm, unagitated. And whenever desire is there, obviously mind cannot be quiet. When the desire is there, necessarily the mind is, even when you are working on in a particular work, your mind having desire is planning for the next one. Okay, ye to ho gaya, wo dusra bhi karna hai. So that desire is there. When you finish it, by the time it is already lined up with 3-4 other things. Before you get married, you want to get married. After you get married, you don't know what to do with that. So the children will come in between. So our children come, they have to educate. Educating them, then they don't listen to you. And after that time, then you wait for them to go into the university so that you will be happy. After they are gone, you don't know what to do with this person. This is pause. So, and after theirs, and then you are worried about their marriage. And then it never ends. So, since the desires don't end, karma also doesn't end. Now, when your mind is preparing for knowledge and devotion, it has to consciously able to remain anxiety free. And that can happen in the context of devotion only when you do your best and allow the Lord to take over. That shraddha hona chahiye. Main itna kiya, aur iske baad wo Bhagavan ne complete karega, purna karega. We don't have that faith. Therefore, that's why I said we are bhakti adhikari nahi hai. We don't have the qualification to be a devotee because we do not have faith in God. Simple as that. If you have faith in God, then you will not be anxiety. The very sign of a devotee is no anxiety. Why? Bhagavan, he'll take care of it. Do we have that unquestionable surrender to Lord, that he will take care of what I could not do? Bhagavan doesn't say that don't do anything, I will take care of everything. No, you do what you need to do, but do not be anxious about what the rest which you cannot do. So the next statement he makes is, Ma phaleshu kadachana adhikarahate. You do not have to have adhikara or a right to decide on the results. When you do an action, you can be sure about the action to some extent, but you can never be sure about the result. What will happen out of your action is not decided by you at all. We can only plan, we can execute, we can do our best, but then rain will come. Right, we are all preparing for, but rain is not in our hand. We can put all the canopy, everything, but when rain comes, what will you do? It's not our choice. We cannot decide that. We can pray if you want to. That is Daivika. It is Bhagavan's work. So you say, oh Bhagavan, we are doing your work only, so just stop it. But then whether it will stop or not, that is not your decision. You bring the children, what they will become is not your decision, Bhagavan. So that kind of a surrender, the faith, implicitly obeying to the order of the Lord is not there in our mind. Gurudev used to say, we are university educated continental idiots because we have totally no faith in God. So therefore, we are not bhakti adhikari. Now, who is a jnana adhikari? He also needs a purity of mind, which is anxiety-free mind, knowing that nothing is real. Why am I worried about this? What has happened is also gone. It is no reality. And what will happen also, that will have no reality. Really speaking, none of them have any true existence. They are all appearance. They are all happening to be there, and then they will all disappear. So why am I worried about something which is temporary? Why am I worried about something which is actually not true? Take your own thoughts, for example, how true they are. You consider your thoughts are true and therefore you worry about that. When I understand that my mind itself is Maya, it is only an illusion that is going on, then I will be anxiety free. Right? But we do not have that also. We are not jnanadhikari also. Why? Because we don't understand the illusoriness of things or temporariness of things. We think everything is real, solid reality. And if you consider everything a solid reality, there is no escape from that. If you give me a fruit, a mango fruit, right in front of me, when I realize that is only a wax mango, will I have any interest in eating that? Knowing its reality, I will not touch it. Even the ant will not go anywhere near. Why? Because it's not real apple. In the same way, when we recognize that that whole gamut of the things that are happening has a temporary reality only, it's only false appearance, then their mind won't be anxious about it. Now you think about it. Are you Jnanadhikari then? So when the anxiety-free mind need to be obtained, obtaining which alone we can be true qualified people for knowledge or devotion, both of them which will lead to liberation. What we should be the stepping, first step that we need to do, how to be anxiety free. And that is why it says, Ma phaleshu adhikari. If you are too anxious about the result of your action, then there is no freedom from the agitations of the mind. So that's why, do the right is to work only, but never to its roots. Understanding this alone, you will be able to become anxiety free of your results. Otherwise, anybody would say, then why am I working? If I am going to give up the results, then why am I working? Then I will not do anything. Seva karo, if somebody says, kiske liye? Next question. Aap, manashuddhi ke liye. If you tell that person to common man, for your own purity of mind, do seva. Unless he is convinced that I have to purify my mind, he will not do the seva. Even in the field of seva, he will expect recognition. Is it not? Itna kaam kiya koi, nobody has even praised me. Nobody has said thanks to me. Then it is not seva then. So when we recognize that the seva essentially is meant for my own purity of mind, then you do it with love, with joy, with happiness. Why? It is for me only I am doing. By my purity of mind only I am doing this. Whether anybody notices at all or not. The result is already there. I'm not waiting for anything to happen. So, first statement is, Karmani eva adhikarahate. You have the right to work only. Ma phale shukadachana. At no time, you have the right over the result, provided you understand that letting go of the anxiety over the result alone is the means to purify my mind. To a common man, if you say, you will not be able to understand this at all. Well, how, without results, why should I work? No need. See, if you are sending your children to school, and then every quarter or every, 3-4 months, they will have exams, right? So, quarterly, whatever exam. And they all study only for that, correct? At least I did that. Just one day before the exam. Whole night study, and the next day go and vomit. No, at that time when I was doing that, I did not realize that that is not correct way of doing things. Why? Because the intention of that whole examination process is whether you have understood or not. If I have studied properly and understood the concept clearly, I'm not anxious about the result, I mean the exam. Because the exam is not for pass or fail. Exam is to know whether I know. Think. It is not that the examiner or the school is trying to punish me. The school is trying to tell me that you should know what you should know. This is a test to find out whether you know it. And not for us to give a grade. That is not the point here. Similarly, when we are in the place of work, our mind is anxious about the result, actually, then I am not really making the best use of that opportunity. Now, this is where, if the desire-prompted actions are there, this is not possible. Right? The very prompting of your action is desire. Therefore, the Vedas prescribe nitya karma, which has no result. Think. कर्तव्य कर्म में फल नहीं है. When a brahmana is asked to do sandhya vandanam 3 times a day, what is the result you think? No result. You are worshipping the sun only to keep your mind in a state of thankfulness, gratitude. That's all it is. इतना संध्या वंदन क्रिया कुछ होगा? कुछ नहीं होगा. नथिंग इज देयर फॉर दैट. इट इज ओनली टू मेक योर माइंड एंग्जाइटी फ्री वेयर द रिजल्ट इज नॉट गोइंग टू हैपन. देयर इज नो रिजल्ट. सो नित्य कर्म विच इज कॉल्ड कर्तव्य डस नॉट हैव एनी पर्सनल रिजल्ट. And this is discussed in the 18th chapter towards the end. Bhagavan elaborates on that. So here, ma paleshu, not on the result you have any right. And when you know this, your mind is free of the anxiety for result. Yet you continue to do. Therefore, the next statement is, let the fruit of action be not the motive. Kartavya bhav se karma karo. Do actions as a means to show gratitude to God and everything else in this world. Because the entire world is working with you to help you what you do. Your own body, every part of your body is helping you to do what you want to do. And this is given to you by the Lord. By Bhagavan only it is given to you. And the entire world around you is also, with all its very natural resources and all other things, helping you to engage in action. So you be grateful to the Lord who is allowing you to do your work. And therefore, may you not be the phala hetu, Meaning, let the phalam need not be your hetu. The result need not be your motive. Now, let me bring one important point here. लक्ष्य और फल में भेद है. मीनिंग देर आर टू थिंग्स वी टू अंडरस्टैंड, द रिजल्ट एंड द टारगेट, नॉट द टारगेट दैट यू गो हियर. लक्ष्य, व्हाट इज योर लक्ष्य? लक्ष्य और फल. लक्ष्य इज the goal. Let us put not target, goal. The target means immediately bring up like this. Goal and result, they need not be the same. Karm fal deta hai. Man lakshya ko dekhta hai. While action will bring, any action will bring result. But the mind should be focusing on the goal. If one does not have a goal at all, one is stuck with only the phal. That's why Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi very clearly says, Karturajnaya prapyate phalam karma kimparam karma tajadam kriti mahodato patana karanam phalam. Phalam is patana karanam, ashashvatam. Result of any action is impermanent, and it pulls you down. So mind has to focus on the goal. And if the focus is only on the phal, that is forgotten. So ma karma phala heturbu. May you not be driven by the result, may you be driven by Lakshya. Now, in the case of Arjun, what happened? He looks at the result. Oh, if I fight the war, then I'll be killing all these people, and all these people will be my own grandparents, uncle, teacher, etc. They will all die. Lakshya ko bhul gaya. What is the purpose of the war? Lakshya means purpose or goal. What is the purpose of the war? To bring back righteousness and destroy the unrighteous one. These people whom you are saying that my uncle, my cousin, my this, these are all the people who are adharmic. Unless they are not there, unless they are removed, you will not be able to finally reach the result of bringing back righteousness. That's what you've forgotten. That way he said, dharma sammood cheta. I don't know what I'm doing. So to him, very clearly, Bhagavan says, ma karma phala hetur. Don't. Ma means don't. Do not become driven by your results. May you be driven by the ultimate goal. So as much as the taking the example of the children when they are studying in the school, what they should be doing is to have a clear goal. Even if they may not get A grade, B grade, whatever it is. But if they have understood the subject, doesn't matter. After all, when they go to the workplace, they are not looking at the grade. They look at how efficient you are in the workplace. Is it not? One may be even not got a proper grade, but if he is good, understood the subject, and he is able to perform well, that person will go up much faster than the person who got A grade but totally inefficient. What's the point? So what is that driving you? The goal. What I would like to be is not just getting a high grade, but I want to know the subject. When the subject is known, when you are efficient in understanding that, one is not anxious about whatever the evaluation people do. So, ma karma phala hetruvo. So, first statement is, you are right only to duty, karma adhikari tvam, and na phala adhikari bhava. Why? Because that anxiety is what you want to get rid of. For that, you should do kartavya karma, chodo kamya karma. Because kamya karma or desire prompted action presupposes that you are supposed to get the result. That will keep the anxiety intact. So may you not be driven by your result, but driven by the goal. And one should not say that if anyway I am not going to be getting my results, why should I do? No, don't stop working. Because the goal is not immediately reachable. The goal is always far away from you. Gurudev always said that keep the goal in such far away from you, you have to work for the whole life to reach there. If the goal is only what you can achieve tomorrow, you will get bored. That's what happens to children, no? When they are very smart, when they are able to finish their homework, mom, now I'll play this. Why? They are bored. They want to play a game which will give them more challenge. I finish my math, I finish my study, and now what do? They are like the genie, you know. You have to keep them engaged. Otherwise, they will eat you alive. So at the same time, when I am not driven by my result, then if one is only focusing on the result and does not have a goal, then what he will do? Mate sangaha astu akarmani. Meaning, at any point, no point of time, you should become actionless. In this context, what this means is, may you not be a parasite in this world. Don't live as a parasite, living unproductively. So when we were given Diksha by our Swami Gurudev, and he said, work, never be tired of work. And that alone will keep your mind focused, make your mind pure, and make you keep productive in this world. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavya. Never give up that. Our work is not, you know, physical work even then, but engage in self-study, reflection, and sharing your thoughts. And self-study, reflection, sharing your, this is the work that is given to us. Keep doing that. You will improve. If anybody improves or not, that is, you will definitely improve. I remember once it so happened, then I was in Siddhavari with Gurudev. I was a student at that time. And there was one brahmachari who has previous batch of after I finished. So he was posted in Chennai. And when Gurudev was there in Siddhavari, Himalayas, one day when I was waiting for Gurudev to come out of his kutir, I was outside. And as soon as he came out, and this boy, this brahmachari, from all the way from Chennai. During those times, it will take 2 days to come in the train to reach, you know, Himalayas. You know, because it's a train itself to Delhi itself is 1.5 days. Finally, he arrived, you know, morning, you know, as soon as he arrived. He took a quick shower and came to see Gurudev. And as soon as Gurudev came out, oh, all the way from Chennai, at that time Madras. Madras, you came. Very good. What is the purpose of your visit? So that brahmachari said, only to see you, Swamiji. Very good. Did you have a shower? Yeah. Did you eat the breakfast? Yes, very good. Now you go back. I was stunned there. I was looking at him. Leave your workplace and don't come here. I didn't call you. He was very strict. Unless the commander general tells you or puts you in other position, when you are in the army post, you are stuck there. He was from army, so he knows that. And there you stand. That is your post. That is where you stand. Whatever happens, that is your place of work. Don't move. So, do not say I am going to be actionless. That means you are useless. If I understand action is meant for my mental purification, why should I stop then? If I know action is meant for my own upliftment and purity of mind, eagerly waiting to make the mind more and more pure, I will never stop working because I know this is a sadhana. It is a way to uplift or made to become spiritually more inclined towards quietening the mind and making mind serene, making my mind available for reflection, why should I stop there? When you don't have that, then you get into a state of lethargy, laziness, unproductive. Mate sangha astu akarmani. May not you be associated with actionlessness. Let's say, let the attachment be not to inaction. So the inaction is no doubt the state of the self. When you get into the state of total abidance in the self, inaction naturally takes place. Not that you give up. It will happen. It is like in another 2 hours, some of them are already there. You will get into the inaction, right? You just slowly, slowly, whatever comes to your mind, oh, kal karenge ajni, kal karenge ajni. Tomorrow, I'll do. Not today. How are you able to postpone your action to tomorrow? And why? One is physical tiredness, that is their exhaustion, etc. Other thing is, you do not see that it is too important to do now. Right? It can be done tomorrow. If that can wait tomorrow, then why should I be worried about it today? I'll do it tomorrow. Without that, you cannot go to sleep. You have to postpone your work for tomorrow. Right? In the same way, a person who is ready for abiding in the self will say, is janma mein nahi. अगले जन्म में करेंगे नॉट इन दिस बर्थ आई डू दोस एक्शन द नेक्स्ट बर्थ आई डोंट सी एनी रेलेवेंस टू डू इट नाउ बिकॉज इट इज आई डोंट सी एनी वैल्यू इन डूइंग दिस वैराग्य होना चाहिए सो देन इन एक्शन इज करेक्ट बट इट विल हैपन नॉट दैट यू हैव टू गिव अप It will naturally happen that you will get disinterested in those actions which are not going to yield any result for your growth. Then just it will go away from you. Just like a child when he has grown up, it gives away very gracefully its teddy bear to the sister. Take it. Why? Because I don't see any value in that. When you do not see value in that, it will naturally get away from you. When the desires are less and less, the actions also will become less and less. And you will take a more of the Kartavya Karma to make your mind more and more pure. What is Kartavya Karma? Action without the anxiety for results. The actions which cannot give any result anyway. So every action will become a Kartavya Karma that comes. Thereafter, you do it not because you have any anxiety about the result. You do it as an offering to the Lord. We'll see the next one will come. Next verse is about that. How to do this Kartavya Karma. How to do this action that are having no result or there is no, not today. Kal karenge. Aaj nahi. So such a mind which has become quiet and anxiety free is the mind ready for jnan ke liye, bhakti ke liye, dhyan ke liye. That's why Bhagavan says in sixth chapter beginning itself, Aarurukshoho Muneh Yogam Karma Karanamuchyate. One who wants to meditate must purify the mind with the action. But once having reached the point of such anxiety free, not doing is what you need to do. At the present moment, we cannot do that. We are not capable of doing. Even when we sit for quite some time in the name of meditation, the question that comes to our mind, after meditation, what I should do? Even in that action, no, in that state of actionlessness, there is anxiety about further action. Even when you're sitting there, oh, I hope everybody at home knows that I'm meditating. We are anxiety to make sure that everybody knows that I'm meditating. And Gurudev always would say, do not do your meditation when everybody is watching you. Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasisthita. You should always engage in meditation where nobody is watching you. Two reasons. One, you know, it is not necessary for you to tell everybody that. Second is, when you are doing it, others are looking at you. They will disturb you also through their mind. Oh, he is meditating. What is he meditating on? And they will test you also. Walk two, three times next time. Don't you know that I'm meditating? Why are you walking like this? Rahasisthita. Stay in a solitude. So even the state of staying oneself in the presence of God in your mind or Atman, that should be done quietly and not with any anxiety. Not anxiety about what you're going to do afterwards also. So it's called Shamakaranam. So that adhikari for dhyanam requires your mind to become free of anxiety. It's all preparation. So, in the case of jnanam, it is a false nature of everything that you come to know. Therefore, there is no anxiety. In the case of a devotee, he knows that what I have to do, I have done. What else to be done? It is Bhagavan's work. Let him do. Give up that. In the case of a person who is in the state of jnanam, he knows that his only engagement now is to make his mind not to worry about anything else, because that is not going to help me in abiding in the self. So therefore, I withdraw from all of them. So this is a practice of withdrawal. Like a sleep, you withdraw from everything so that you are available fully for only in this engaging in the self. So that withdrawal is what is considered as shama. So this, that way, this verse, it also has got four instructions, like the first one, right? Your right is over doing the right thing. Be free of anxiety of the result. May you be driven by the goal, not by the result. And don't remain actionless. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Makasit Dukkha Bhat Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Sri Guru Pyo Namah.
Hari Om.
So you have three more verses to cover. So that is tomorrow. I'm not anxious about it, but anyway. Tomorrow will be on how to do the kartavya or duties. It will be what attitude one should do our actions. So that is the verse from, next verse is from verse number, chapter number 9, 27. That is, then the next one is developing devotion to God. That is from chapter number 9 again. And the last one is from chapter 18. So that we'll do tomorrow and day after, Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday. Thank you.